When I finished up the song, it was pretty good, didn't you think? I saw her looking down at me with an odd little half smile on her mouth. What do you think of that, Miss Skimper?
Well, it leaves me, breathless, shall we say.
Right, me too. She fluffed at her hair.
I can hardly believe that my little wink could have such an effect on a big old hairy thing like you.
Yes, right. It's kind of amazing.
And you say you're rich, huh?
Oh, yes, ma'am. Fabulously rich. I hardly know what to do with all my fortune. Her brows twitched.
I think I can help. I wonder if you could hop your bad self up here in my pickup.
You wouldn't think me too bold or brazen? She fluttered her eyelashes.
I'll try to keep an open mind.
I went into a deep crouch, went flying over the tailgate, and landed right beside her. She studied me with hooded eyes.
Well, here you are.
Yes, ma'am, here I am.
That rhymes, doesn't it?
It sure does. I hadn't thought of that. A heavy silence moved in between us. My, this is fun, isn't it? I began to feel uncomfortable. I wonder what this weather's going to do.
I have a feeling that a storm is fixing to hit.
Oh, really? I didn't know you... It was then that I saw the storm she had mentioned. It wasn't a cloud, as you might have thought, but rather the furrowed, angry face of her master, whose name was Baxter. Apparently, he and Jimmy Joe Dogcatcher had finished their conversation about fishing and were ready to leave. He had a big black mustache and beady little eyes. Baxter did. And he was glaring at me.
Get out of my pickup, you potlicker!
I heard my claws scratching the bed of the pickup, and I went sailing over the tailgate. I landed in a heap in the ditch. It was a little embarrassing, to tell you the truth, but hey, that guy had caught me by surprise, and I saw her looking back at me as the pickup pulled away. Her eyes were filled with sadness and adoration, and I knew that her heart was about to break. Goodbye, Miss Skimper. We had our precious moments together, and now we must part. Until our hearts are reunited, you must try to be brave. Her eyes seemed to roll upward, and I heard her exclaim in a voice filled with sadness and adoration,
Oh, brother.
Ah, what sweet words. I would carry them with me forever and ever, or at least for a little while. Anyways, she vanished into the sunrise, over the next hill, and I was left with a huge hole where my heart used to be. Jimmy Joe Dogcatcher had fired up his pickup and was pulling away, heading west towards the lake. I saw Ralph's head hanging over the tailgate. I turned on a burst of speed and caught up. Did you see that, Ralph?
Yep.
That's how you charm the ladies. The tricks softened her up and the song finished her off.
She looked kind of bored to me.
Bored? You don't understand the ladies, Ralph. They try to hide their emotions.
Well, she done that all right.
But in fact, she fell madly in love with me. And I would bet that, at this very moment, and even as we speak, she's crying her eyes out.
I'll bet she's fixing her hair.
Exactly, and learning to cope with her broken heart.
Oh, brother.
What? I'm falling behind, Ralph. I guess I'll have to sign off. Goodbye, old friend, my old prison buddy.
See you around, Harry.
It's Hank, the cow dog. Come back again sometime, and I'll give you some more tips on charming the gals.
Or whatever.
Goodbye.
So long.
I slowed to a walk and watched him pull away. It was kind of a touching moment, saying goodbye to an old prison. He fell out. The driver swerved to miss a chug hole in the road, and Ralph fell out of the back and landed in the ditch. His ears flew in all directions, and he rolled all the way out into the horse pasture. And there he lay, motionless. Fearing the worst, I rushed to his side. "Ralph, speak to me. It's your old prison buddy, Hank the cow dog. You've just been involved in a serious accident. I think you're gonna be okay, but you need to speak to me. Say something, Ralph!" Nothing. He didn't speak or move. I began pacing. "Ralph, I'm feeling personally responsible for this. If I hadn't tried to carry on a conversation with you while the pickup was moving, this never would have happened. I feel terrible about it. So, would you please wake up? If you won't wake up for yourself, wake up for me. Think of somebody besides yourself for a change. What am I supposed to do now? I mean, I can't just walk away and leave you out here all alone in the pasture. I could never forgive myself. But the other side of that, Ralph, is that I'm a very busy dog. I've got a ranch to run. And by the way, it just occurs to me that my bone fortune needs to be checked. You see, we've had reports of a bone monster on the ranch." I gazed down at him. He still hadn't moved. I lowered my right ear to his nose and listened. Yes, he was breathing. I sat down and began what I feared would be a long vigil. I sat down and waited for something to happen. Nothing happened. The minutes crawled by. I hate waiting. It drives me nuts. I was just about at the end of my rope of patience when, suddenly and all at once, my ears picked up the sounds of flapping wings. I turned to the left and saw two big black airplanes coming in for a landing. Good grief, they must have been enemy bombers diving down for low level. Okay, relax. They weren't enemy bombers. They were buzzards, two of them. The first one touched down, rose again, touched down again with a thud, did three forward rolls, and got up running. He came straight over to me and my injured companion. He was dragging his wings and yelling, "Get back, step aside, make way for emergency airborne medical services." The second buzzard crash landed several feet away and rolled into a cactus patch. The sight of these two crazed birds dropping out of the sky left me speechless. The first one came right up to my face. And let me tell you, fellers, that was one of the ugliest things I'd seen in a long time. And he was yelling again. "I'm Dr. Buzzard, Emergency Airborne Medical Services. We've been called to the scene of a wreck. Where's the victim?" I pointed to Ralph. "That's him on the ground. His name is Ralph." "Son, we don't care what his name is. The boy's been hurt, and that's why we're here. Junior, bring me my bag and hurry, first chance you get." Okay, it was Wallace and Junior, but I'd never known them to do anything like this before. It appeared that they had come to, well, help, if you can believe that. It seemed a little out of character, but we did need help, so Junior came limping up.
We didn't bring a bag, Pa.
He saw me there and waved his wing.
Oh, hi, doggy.
"How's it going, Junior?"
Oh, busy. We're working wrecks today.
"Yes, I see that. Is this something new for you guys?"
Oh, well, Pa just thought we'd...
Wallace's head flew up. "Son, quit talking with the customers and give me a hand. Where's my bag?"
We don't have a bag, Pa, and never did.
"Fine. I don't need a bag. What matters is all this knowledge inside our heads. Get yourself in here and check this dog's vital signposts. We ain't got a minute to spare."
"Pa?"
"What?"
I landed in a cactus bush.
"And did you get spines and needles in your hide?"
Yep, I did, and they sure hurt.
Wallace puffed himself up to his full height. "Son, haven't I warned you about driving too fast? Speed kills, Junior. And the speedier you drive, the killier you get. And one of these days you'll wake up dead is what's liable to happen.
Yeah, but...
And son, it serves you right crashing into a cactus bush, and maybe that'll teach you to slow that thing down. Now get in here and take his vital signpost. The two of them hovered over Ralph's Potsrate farm. I watched, hoping for the best. Okay, Junior, how about his hoof beat?
You mean heart beat?
Whatever. Give me something and hurry. Supper's awaiting.
Well, I can't feel much through my feathers.
In other words, he ain't got a heartbeat. How about breathing? Is he breathing?
Well...
Snake eyes on that too, huh? How about blood pressure?
Well, if his heart ain't beating, then he can't have a...
I read the book too, Junior, so you don't need to be showing off like you're an I don't know what, cause you ain't.
There was a moment of silence. Then Wallace's head came up.
Boys, I'm afraid we've lost him.